Hello.
It's us and we're back. It's episode 67 of Catnaps and Cognac.
Catnaps and Cognac. We're all up in your ear. Well, I'm such a horrible rapper. I can't do this shit on the spot.
Girl, me neither. It's
gonna
be like a week to get
something. Run my beat back.
Oh yes. So like we said, it is episode 67, and if you are a return listener, thank you for coming back and listening. And if this is your first time listening, thank you for joining us, and we hope that you will go back and check out the other 66 episodes that we have.
Yeah, just do it.
Do it.
Oh, thanks, neighbor. That's always gonna be funny.
So just to give you a little background on our inside joke, one time I was at Ari's place and we were just hanging out on the couch, and her neighbor was in his car playing this song, which we think that he is the one that was rapping on this song.
Mm-hmm.
And he had to have played that song at least 50 times.
At least. Like, not even exaggeration.
No exaggeration.
Not exaggerating whatsoever.
He played the song at least 50 times, and he just played, it was just on repeat, on repeat. And
we were like, yo, when is he gonna stop? And then at one point he stopped, and then he started playing it again.
Yes. And the one rhyme or part of the song that really like cracked us up remembered was that, if you're having fun and that's a fact, somebody say, and you know that.
And you know that. Oh.
Yeah, you know, like you have to raise your hand and raise the roof. Like,
we know that was going to be played at like the family reunion all summer.
Definitely.
Let me play this. Let me play this song for you. What you think about this, young blood?
It sounded like some like old Kool Moe Dee / Christian rap.
Yep,
like,
it sounded like Kool Moe Dee for real.
Yes, he sounded like Kool Moe Dee, but it was very wholesome. The whole rap, the Christian rap. Like, yes. We were so annoyed. It was awful.
And then we laughed because it was hilarious afterwards.
Yes, it was just funny.
Oh, good times. Anywho, how are you?
I am well. And yourself?
I'm pretty darn good.
Good. That's what I like to hear. Well, you want to know who's not good?
Who?
Is Jay-Z. Jay-Z's not good. Neither is Solange, and I don't know about Beyonce because she's a robot, so I don't know.
So, in case you guys don't know, and yes, we would be like, what if you didn't? But in case you guys don't know, let's give you the rundown on what happened between Solange Knowles and Sean Jay-Z Carter.
So, basically, the Met Gala?
Yes.
The Met Gala was the event that they attended, and there was an after party after the Met Gala. Solange, Beyonce, and Jay-Z all attended the Met Gala, and then there's footage of the three of them in the hotel elevator, and Solange basically viciously tries to attack Jay-Z, does make a couple of hits contact, but Julius, the bodyguard, was there to kind of like buffer. I don't know, not be the buffer, because he was trying to hold her back, but she was still getting through. So she must have been pretty angry, because I know Solange is a small woman and Julius is a very big guy, but he was still not doing a good job of holding her back. So anywho, she's upset and yelling at Jay-Z, kicking at him. Some people say that she spit on him. I didn't see that in the video. Did you?
So did he say what?
Did you see when she spit?
Yes, girl.
I didn't see it.
I had
to show it to me.
No, it looked like, in the very first video, it looked like she spit at him.
Yeah, I couldn't see it. But because to me, when her face wasn't turned towards him, I saw something go over the camera. But I was like, that must just be like lint or something that's just flying in the air.
No, that so, looked like spit. Because at first I was like, ooh, it looked like she spit. And then I heard someone else say, did she spit on him?
Yeah.
In the background.
So, you know, people are saying that she spit on him. That's what they're saying they see in the video. And Beyonce, all the while, is just standing there doing nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Nothing but, like, smoothing her dress.
Yeah, smoothing her dress. And then at one point, in the early part of the video, Solange does make contact with Jay-Z. She kicks at him, and he holds onto her foot. And then that's when Beyonce kind of, like, you know, steps in.
Kind of like, come on, y'all.
Yeah, stop it. And then in the longer video, in the extended video, I don't know why they were doing this. Why would they walk out, let Beyonce and then Julius walk out and then leave Solange?
I have no clue. Like, I was just like, really? Really?
I don't know, but she definitely attacked him again, twice.
And you know, it was funny because Jay-Z looked like he was trying to get his hits in a little bit. Like, you better get out of here.
Gone, yeah. And so,
I ran that part back a few times.
No one knows why this altercation happened. There's lots of speculation about, you know, Jay-Z doing something inappropriate. Because the thing is, you know, Beyonce could have stepped in. Not to say that she needed to fight her sister, but she could have at least, you know, stepped in the middle and be
something,
like
put her arms around her,
yeah,
like
something.
I don't know, anything. I feel like that's your first reaction as a sister. I feel like if that was my sister, I would have definitely, shit, I might have got kicked in the face, but I'd have been like, girl, like, what's going on? Like, no.
Right.
I feel like I would have probably gone to her versus my husband.
Right. But people are trying to read the body language, and they're thinking that, you know, Jay-Z must have done something wrong because Beyonce didn't do anything to stop it. And at one point, she's, like, standing there staring at Jay-Z. I don't know if her mouth is moving. I can't tell because she's a robot. So I can't tell if her mouth is moving, if she's saying anything to him. But he is saying something back to her. So that's what makes me think that she is saying something.
Mm-hmm.
But he's speaking back to her and has very defensive hands.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe Jay-Z did something wrong and Solange, got upset at what he did to her sister, and she popped off. Do you have any theories as to why you think Solange went crazy on him like that?
Well, there's a couple of theories that have come out. Two, I think, that are the most plausible theories. And the first one being that the whole, like, she had some friends who tried to get up in the after party. They weren't dressed right. They tried to name drop his name. He was upset. Solange was drunk, and that's kind of, like, how it started, and I guess, you know, from what people are saying, they're saying, like, just based off the reactions, this isn't the first time that she got upset, that this probably happened, so maybe that's not the first time that her friends have tried to use Jay-Z's name. I'm not really sure. I mean, of course, I'm not really sure. No one knows. So that's one theory. And then the second theory is that because she also got into it a little bit with Rachel Roy, the designer, before the elevator scuffle even happened. So some people are saying, some people as in Wendy Williams, because I saw the video this morning on the Hot Topics.
Mm-hmm.
But she was saying that he might have tried to get with Rachel Roy and he might have had something going on with her back in the day before Dame Dash married her. Or whatever, and something might be going on. So Solange trying to defend Beyonce, and then that's why Beyonce reacted or didn't react the way that she did,
right?
Because she was defending, her,
right?
What do you think?
I did at first. I thought the first theory was plausible, but then it didn't make sense as to why Beyonce wouldn't have stepped in. The whole, like, even people are saying, well, it looks like this is something that happens on the regular, but still, Beyonce at least would have been like, you need to chill, or she would have at least, like, said something to Julius, like, Julius, you need to make her calm down. You need to get her to calm down.
Yeah.
You need to do something. And since she didn't do that, that's why I don't really think that theory of having her ghetto friends are downstairs trying to name drop and get into the party. I do believe that it's the second theory is much more plausible to me.
Yeah, I agree.
And then also, I was thinking, my own theory myself, we're all theorizing here. My theory was that it was something, because, you know, it's been rumored that Jay-Z and Rihanna have messed around or are messing around, and that was the after party that he was going to go to alone. He was going to go to this after party alone, and I've heard that Solange has made it known that she doesn't necessarily care for Rihanna. So if she knew that Jay-Z was going to go to this after party by himself without his wife, it's like, so what are you going to go do? You're going to go be with your mistress? Is that what you're going to go do? So I think that's the reason, that my theory there, because already she doesn't like Rihanna, and then those rumors, and then he was going to go alone. So maybe that's the reason why she got upset. So but with the whole, I never knew about Rita, whatever her name is. I didn't know that they used to date.
Oh, Rachel Roy.
Yeah, Rachel Roy. Sorry.
I guess from what Wendy was saying. Did you see what Wendy said?
No, I briefly saw it, but I don't remember. Tell me.
So Wendy was saying that, like, back in the day, Jay-Z and Dame Dash used to, like, share girls.
Oh, gross.
Yeah. So maybe she was one of the girls that they shared, apparently, until he married her. Because they were married for a while and he had children, Dame Dash and Rachel Roy. But, I mean, I think that the second story does seem plausible, especially for the fact that they didn't ride in the same car.
Right.
And the fact that, because Solange deleted her Instagram pictures with Beyonce, especially maybe thinking about it, this is just the wheels turning, thinking about it. Mm-hmm. If Solange is upset because Beyonce has been seen with Jay-Z at almost all the net games, except for one, and she's like, nah, I'm defending her, and she's still stepping out with this dude, delete, whether it's petty, if that's the case, but it could be something that happened, and now Beyonce is showing maybe her solidarity towards her sister, and posting up those pictures. They're saying that she's getting her tattoo removed, that says 4, from when they got married, and she was also spotted without her wedding ring.
Yeah, it's a lot of craziness.
It's just going to be interesting to see how this all goes down.
Yeah, it all goes down, and, you know, I don't know. It's just crazy because, you know, everybody thinks they're this perfect couple, and then this comes out. So everything is not all hunky-dory in the Jay and Bay land. It's not.
I definitely hand it to all of them, though, because they all kept their composure when they got out that damn elevator.
They sure did. They sure did. Especially Beyonce. Beyonce had, like, I mean, we didn't know what had happened in the elevator, but Solange's face, she looks terribly upset. Jay-Z is holding on to his face because he's just probably like...
and his little shirt was undone a little bit.
Right. But Beyonce came out smiling, bro. Right? Nothing had happened. Nothing. She came out with the big old smile, and she went into that limo. I'm going to tell you right now, that's definitely an earth sign trait to be able to just put on a happy face and make it look believable, and nobody would know what was going on. Nobody.
Because we didn't.
Yeah, we didn't. Exactly. We didn't. Nobody would have suspected that anything had happened prior to them getting into that car. So, kudos to you, Robot Beyonce.
Yes, yes, Robo B. Yes.
Robo B. It's crazy, it's crazy. But we just gonna keep them all lifted in prayer.
yeah, definitely. Like, as much as we talk about them and how we don't care for them,
we don't want anything bad to happen to them.
No, we don't want anything bad. They're still people at the end of the day, just like us, despite their millions and how they can, I don't know, whatever the hell. Right. But I mean, at the end of the day, it's still a marriage, it's still a family.
Right, right.
So, switching robot gears.
Robot gears.
What's next?
Oh, well, so, a story came out earlier this week, and Georgia's prison officials will have to explain themselves in court if they continue to refuse hormone therapy to transgender inmates, warns a letter that was delivered to the state's Department of Corrections on Tuesday by the Southern Poverty Law Center, an advocacy group based in Alabama. Starting in 2012, department employees violated the Constitution's ban on cruel and unusual punishment by denying hormone treatment to Ashley Diamond, who is a transgender inmate who had received the treatment for nearly 2 decades before entering the prison system, the letter alleges. That's what the letter says. And if these allegations are true, the officials also breached the department's own policy, which calls for Georgia's prisons to provide hormones to all inmates who start taking them before their incarceration. In a press release, the Southern Poverty Law Center quoted Diamond, saying she's only asking for respect. No one would deny a diabetic prisoner insulin. That's what Diamond said. And no one would sentence a person to a gender change. But because I am transgender, I'm denied basic medical care and forced to change gender. Nobody should be sentenced to torture like this. Wow, she's saying that she's being tortured. Diamond, she's 36 years old. She first began taking the hormones when she was 17 years old, living in Rome, Georgia. In 2009, she was convicted of burglary and placed under probation. 2 years later, she was sent to prison for allegedly violating the terms of her probation, and that's when the hormone therapy abruptly stopped. Her voice started to deepen. She began to grow facial hair. Her body shape changed. And then in a lawsuit that Diamond filed in 2013, which is still pending, she said that she suffered from depression and chronic anxiety, and she also contemplated suicide, according to the Southern Poverty Law Center. So, but they're saying that her case is not unique. Although data on transgender inmates is sparse, a series of recent court cases have shed light on the stories of others in the situation. Judges have consistently sided with the inmates in these cases, pointing to the cruel and unusual clause of the Eighth Amendment as a justification for striking down bans on hormone therapy, legal experts say. Georgia's Department of Corrections declined to provide a comment for this story. A representative said the department doesn't comment on pending litigation. Historically, states have almost always housed transgender people in accordance with the gender assigned to them at birth, but that's beginning to change. I was just wondering. I was like, what jail is she in? Is she in women jail or man jail? I don't know. In Denver and Washington, D.C., as well as Cumberland, Maine, and Cook County, Illinois, there are policies in place that allow transgender prisoners to be assessed and housed on a case-by-case basis. In a conference call Monday with the SPLC and transgender activists, Janetta Johnson, and an advocate with the Transgender Variant Intersex Justice Project, wow, that's a mouthful, that's what she said, describes her own experience of stopping hormone therapy while in prison. As time progresses, everything that you possess as far as self-love and self-care begins to disappear, and you become inhuman, she said. Basically, that's what's going on. They have this case that's they're trying to figure out to see if they were violating, you know, this person's Eighth Amendment, this prisoner's Eighth Amendment. These are our tax dollars which are paying for this. However, I don't understand, though, because the thing is, they know she's supposed to get this hormone therapy. Why would they just stop it?
Remember this happened on Orange is the New Black?
Yes.
I felt like
this is Orange is the New Black.
Yeah, this is really sad.
Yeah.
This is really sad. I mean, first of all, just the fact that you're going to assign someone what they are at birth, but it's like, that's not who they are anymore. Right. Like, have some respect and place them in what the gender that they are right now.
Exactly.
Especially if they're taking the hormones to get there, you know, they're not just talking shit and saying that they are a man or a girl, whatever, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
They're going through the steps to make the proper changes, and you're doing them a disservice. Like, come on, give them their pills. It's just like someone who needs diabetic medication. It's just like someone who needs Prozac. It's all the same.
Right. Right. Exactly. So, like, if a schizophrenic needs their Prozac or dopamine or whatever pills they're taking, you wouldn't just stop giving it to them. And for this particular person, for Diamond, that's the person's last name, I mean, they're taking hormone therapy, you know, hormone replacement pills to keep up with, you know, their body and the person that they are. And so it's really not fair to be able to do this. Oh, another piece in the article says transgender people are also disproportionately likely to go to prison in the first place. This is especially true of Black transgender people like Diamond. Of the Black transgender people who responded to the survey, nearly 50% had been incarcerated at some point in their lives.
Wow. Oh my gosh. Like, why?
Wow. Wow. Probably because they don't feel like, you know, they are the person that they're supposed to be, and so this is how they act out. And they commit crimes and things like that. I'm just going to assume that that's what it is, being that this number is so big. You know, they just have problems dealing with the inner turmoil that they have with themselves, as far as, like, I'm a man on the outside, but I'm a woman on the inside, and I want to be a woman on the outside as well. And so they have a hard time dealing with it, and they that manifests itself into committing crimes and stealing things. Yeah, so I hope that they'll start giving her hormones and stop torturing her.
Me too.
Yeah. Because this isn't fair. It's actually inhumane at this point. It is cruel and unusual. And plus, stop wasting our tax dollars on lawsuits and stuff. Just get a lady her pills and get the cushion.
Stop wasting tax dollars. Stop wasting time. Like, who is this hurting?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, how is this affecting you in any way when you're not giving her what she needs?
Right.
Come on, y'all. Get it together. Like, this, ugh. This whole gay, straight nonsense, like, this is really tiring now. Like, it's so tiring. Like,
it really is.
If it's not affecting you, then what the hell I gotta do with you? Nothing. Nothing at all. Nothing. Like, it's so simple. It's just very, very simple. It's just so upsetting that we still, like, really have to go through this. Why are gay people kissing on my TV? Why now I gotta explain this to my son? Okay, explain that shit then. Like,
explain it.
Sometimes I don't like seeing straight people kiss on TV. Now what?
Right.
What does that mean? It means I can change my channel.
There you go. Change your channel.
Homosexuality stuff, like, it really riles me up a little bit. Because it's just like, what is your deal?
Why would you want to do that? Like, why would you? You are torturing this person. It's a person. No matter what you think about them, this is a human being. And you're torturing this human being by, you know, withholding their pills. Why would you do that? Mm-hmm. Oh, because you don't agree with what they did and da-da-da. That's not your place.
Right.
It's not your place.
In Idaho, they're not doing same-sex marriage either. That was just ruled.
Wow. In Idaho?
In Idaho. Like, we don't even give a fuck about Idaho. Like, what's up?
Who
cares? Just give us your potatoes, damn it. That's all we need from you. Yes, switching gears
to a story that I just absolutely love. I laughed my head off and I did not feel bad about it. So on Tuesday, there were two upstate New York boys were seriously injured after high winds lifted an inflatable bounce house 50 feet into the air with them inside.
Ooh, child.
The boys were 5 and 6 and were taken to, they're not dead. They're 5 and 6 and were taken to Albany Medical Center following the scary Monday incident in South Gun Falls, officials said. The younger boy broke both his arms and had facial injuries, while the 6-year-old suffered head trauma. Witnesses told the Glen Falls Post-Star. One of the boys hit the asphalt and the other slammed into a parked car. God forgive me for laughing. Oh my God. Neighbor Taylor Seymour said high winds suddenly picked up the inflatable structure and spun it around like a tornado. It was like a horror movie, Seymour told the newspaper. It just kept going up and up. It cleared our building and the trees.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. A 10-year-old girl who was also inside suffered minor scrapes. That girl's mom said she's grateful that her daughter was by the door, so she fell only a short distance as soon as the structure began to lift off. My older daughters witnessed it and said it was just horrible. The girl's mom said, a big gust of wind just blew it right off the ground with the kids in it. It's just sickening.
It's not sickening, lady. It's nature, first of all. First of all, what's the wind gonna do? It picks shit up. That's its job.
It's sickening. It's sickening.
How dare you, wind? How dare you?
Who do you think you are?
You should be ashamed of yourself.
That picture that they had was actually the picture of the bounce house in the air.
Yeah, it looks like an Instagram picture.
Yeah, they said, and they put a filter on it. Look at you, Instagram person. Mm-hmm. Oh, fitness Instagram, the photo of the bounce house flying through the air.
That shit is, that look like Wayfair or something like that. I don't know. It's pretty.
I am so weak. The bounce house is owned, this person, whoever typed this up, did not proofread it. The bounce house is owned by a neighbor who set it up for the local kids, and it's secured to the ground with stakes, according to the Postar, but the winds were too strong.
Winds were too strong!
Ooh, good grief.
Damn.
Hilarious. I'm sorry for the kids breaking their arms, facial injuries, and things like that. I'm not laughing at that. I'm not laughing at them being physically hurt. This story, though, of having a bounce house just fly into the air, I could, like, my first instinct was to laugh. I'm so sorry. I'm sorry for the 5 and 6-year-old, and I hope they get better.
Oh, man.
But, yeah, that's kind of scary. Like, damn, I'm never going to put no damn bounce house. Guarantee that. We ain't doing no damn bounce house. Not for my babies to get flown away. What? What is this bounce house filled with? Was it filled with helium? Like, how was it able to just become so airborne? Makes no sense to me. Something ain't right. Something in the milk ain't clean.
Something in the milk ain't clean. Something in the buttermilk ain't clean.
It's so nice. Something ain't clean. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, Lord.
Well, moving on.
Uh-huh.
What are we moving on to?
Today I learned.
Yay. So what did you learn today, Ari?
I learned why New York City is called the Big Apple.
Yeah, so why is that?
Okay, so it says that, and this is from Today I Found Out, that the earliest documented reference to New York being referred to as the Big Apple comes from a 1909 book by Edwin Martin called The Wayfarer. In it, he uses the moniker in a metaphorical sense rather than a proper name for the city. He says, Kansas is apt to see in New York a greedy city. It inclines to think that the Big Apple gets a disproportionate share of the national sap. And it looks like it started to become more familiar, being referenced to in newspaper columns in 1921. It just looks like throughout the 1920s it was referred to as that. But in the 1924 column, Fitzgerald, two separate Fitzgerald, first name, last name, he said in his column around the Big Apple, though it's possible he just made the story up, he said, the Big Apple, the dream of every lad that ever threw a leg over its thoroughbred and the goal of all horsemen. There's only one Big Apple. That's New York. Yada, 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 yada.
Oh,
so, okay. It says that it started to catch on with it being referenced as the Big Apple, especially in the 1930s. It was referenced in songs, particularly in jazz. It said, but by the 1960s, the nickname died off. And only a few outside of the city would understand the reference. But that all changed in the 1970s when Charles Gillette and the New York Convention and Visitors Bureau decided to revive the nickname in a tourism campaign. In this campaign, they began aggressively advertising New York City as a tourist hotspot and referred to it as the Big Apple, using bright, clean-looking red apples in their advertisements to attempt to contrast the popular notion of the day that New York City was a dirty place where you were likely to be mugged as not if you visited there.
Wow.
So, that's it.
Wow.
Oh, wait, and it says, bonus fact, if you've been in New York City since 1997, on the corner of 54th and Broadway, it's called Big Apple Corner. And it's in homage to Fitzgerald, who lived near there for nearly 3 decades, from 1934 to 1963 when he died.
Oh, wow. The Big Apple. Take a bite out of it.
The Big Apple.
The Big Apple.
What did you learn today?
Maybe they should do that. Maybe they should do that whole ad campaign again. That'd be really cool. Do a retro come to New York ad. I don't know if
they're still doing so. That, one day we should talk about how the I Love New York thing got started, because that was huge.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, it's still a huge thing.
Yeah, that shit is trademarked, and you can't even like use any of the likeness to I Love New York or I Heart or whatever. But New York City tourism is pretty interesting.
Yeah, it definitely is.
Yeah, I think they should revive it. Why not?
Yeah, why not? I think that would be a cute thing.
We all need a little revival.
Is it the ghetto revival?
Yes. Hallelujah. Holla back.
Ghetto revival in a building.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Well, as for me and what I learned today, it's where the phrase to the nines came from.
Ooh.
So, you know how we're like, oh, you're dressed to the nine,
mm-hmm.
and things like that. What does that mean? Where does it come from? To be dressed to the nine means to be perfect. You look great. Everything is put together. You are dressed to the nine. So, they're saying that the earliest use of it, according to the Oxford Dictionary, it was first recorded in 1859. In Dictionary of Slang by John Camden Houghton, where it states, dressed up to the nines, and it was in a showy or recherché manner. However, there is at least one earlier documented instance which seems to imply the expression was common several decades before 1859. This can be found in the Progressive Dictionary of English Language, published in 1835. Under the definition for nine, it states, to the nines, to perfection, generally applied to dress and sometimes implying excess in dressing. He or she was dressed up to the nines. And it was also in some Scottish poetry. And so they're saying that the Scots came up with it, but they want to know why to the nines. So I don't know if you guys are familiar with Greek mythology. And in Greek mythology, there are the nine muses.
Ah, I knew you were going to say that as soon as you said Greek mythology.
Yeah, so to Greek mythology, the nine muses. And so in poetry, they would... Sorry about that. In poetry, they would say, you know, things were to the nine, and you inspired me to the nine. So they think that it came from the nine muses in Greek mythology. And if you guys don't know the names of the nine muses, there's Calliope, and that means fair voiced. And she was the muse of epic poetry. There's Kilio, who is the proclaimer, muse of history. Erato, the lovely, the muse of love and poetry. Euterpe, which is the giver of pleasure, muse of music, Melpomene, the songstress, and she was the muse of tragedy, Polyhymnia, she of many hymns, that's what that means, and she was the muse of sacred poetry. There's Terpsichore, there we go, and that means the whirler, and she's the muse of dancing. There's Talia, the flourishing, and she's the muse of comedy. And then there's Urania, the heavenly, and she's the muse of astronomy. So basically, when you were dressed to the nine, you were basically they're saying that you gave it all to the gods. And I think that's where this new term, lay to the gods, dressed to the gods, I think that's where that comes from.
You know what, Gaze? You better go on with this, giving us history.
Yes, honey. Yes. So it's laid to the gods, dressed to the gods. So that's where this all comes from the nine muses of ancient Greece. And Zeus was the father of the muses, and Titaness, Mnemosyne, was their mother. And Erato and Urania are the female forms of Eros and Uranus. So that's where Dressed to the Nines come from. You were dressed up and you were giving it to the gods.
All right.
Yeah, so Dressed to the Nines.
Dressed to the Nines.
I don't know when's the last time I dressed to the nines.
Was it the fly formal?
No, actually, it was for Anna's birthday. I was dressed to the nines.
Ah, yes. The last time I think I was dressed to the nines was for the fly formal.
For the fly formal? We need to do this again. We need to spread dressed to the nines. We're old enough to be
dressed to the nines. Yes, definitely.
Definitely.
That's a good one.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty cool. Lay to the gods,
honey.
Yes, honey. Give it to the gods. Look at that. Look at how it has evolved now. Now it's not just to the nines, but that person, whoever said lay to the gods, like that person is very well versed in Greek mythology. For them to say it was, you know, they changed it from dressed to the nines to dressed for the gods and laid to the gods.
I mean, I hope I'm not going to offend anybody saying this, but you know that the gays be having their own little specialized thing that they be knowing all the time. Like,
yeah, yep, and Rita I'm sure is one of them.
Like, they just know, and then they have to explain this. I'm sure this was explained in a documentary. I'm sure, well, I don't know. I'm surprised I didn't see this in Paris is Burning. Because it could have been.
Right. You're absolutely right. Well, here we go. So, I gave you two things. Where Dressed to the Nines from and Laid to the Gods came from.
There we go.
So, that's it for today I learned. We hope that you guys learned something today. What's up next?
It's TV time! So,
yeah!
So close them books.
Yes.
Finish that homework.
Yes.
Put away everything.
Put away everything. We hope that you did your chores.
And honestly, we don't care.
We don't.
Just grab the remote.
Exactly. It's TV time.
All right. So pretty much the fall season, or, you know, the 2013-2014 TV season, it's pretty much over. A lot of the shows are wrapping up their seasons and having their season finales for the most part. So now we're gearing towards what's going to be coming up towards the fall.
Mm.
So the networks have been having their upfronts, and that's where they kind of like showcase what's going to be at the fall lineups. ABC had theirs on Tuesday. And they revealed that pretty much Thursday night ABC is going to be Shonda Rhimes' night.
So really?
Yeah, Grey's Anatomy is moving to 8, Scandal is moving to 9, and they're making room for her new show called How to Get Away with Murder, and that's going to be starring Alfred Woodard. No, Viola Davis, sorry. Her.
Okay.
And there's going to be a whole other shows, because a lot of ABC shows got canceled.
Yeah.
Like, Suburgatory got canceled, Trophy Wife, just a whole bunch of
shows. Yeah, a lot of shows got canceled, but not just on ABC. A lot of networks canceled their new shows that came out. However, Suburgatory had been on for about 3 years, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that was the third season that just ended.
Yeah. So, unlucky for them, they didn't make the cut. So now they've made room for other shows. And I am actually very excited for the that murder show that's going to have Viola Davis on there. But, however, there's a new show that's coming out called Selfie.
I'm excited for this show.
Tell us about this show. You're so excited about it.
So, Selfie is a show about a girl who's internet famous, but she really doesn't have much skill in person. Like, she has so many internet friends, but then she realizes, hey, I don't really have any friends IRL. So, did you catch that?
Yes.
So, apparently it's kind of like an awkward with what Time calls a My Fair Lady twist. So they had the first trailer come out today. Didi wasn't here for it.
No.
I was. Because it made me chuckle a little bit. So I'm intrigued. And I feel like this might be my replacement for Don't Trust the Bee in Apartment 23. I love stupid shows. I really do. I can't help it.
Yeah. And I don't know. The little trailer that I saw, I was looking at it like, what? And I'm sad because my little honey, my little Asian honey, John Cho, is on the show. And I already don't have high hopes for this show. So that's why I'm like, oh no, another show that he's going to be on that's going to be canceled. But I'm not saying that it is. I just don't have high hopes for it necessarily. Because, yeah, I don't know. Just from the name of the show, Selfie, like, boo. And he was, you know, John Cho was on Go On with that guy, Matthew Perry. Yeah. And that show got canceled. And I really want him to win because he's such a talented actor. I want him to be able to be on a good show that won't get canceled. So just for that, I'm going to hope it doesn't get canceled. I don't know if I'm going to be watching it, though.
I'm going to try it out and see how it is. I tend to like ABC shows for whatever reason. I don't know, maybe it's a teenager in me that still likes the show or likes the station. Right, it's mad family like with Full House and remember like Home Improvement and stuff. Like I did watch Suburgatory for a little while, and actually the creator of Suburgatory also created Selfie.
That might be because I didn't watch Suburgatory.
It was funny.
I heard it was. I like the dad. He's hot.
Me too.
Ooh, I love him.
Elton from Clueless. Oh my gosh.
I love his voice. I love his face. I just love him.
Whoa.
But I never watched the show though because I was like, this is kind of weird. I can't see him being a father. Like, only because I knew him from 6 Feet Under, and he was the worst. On 6 Feet Under. So I couldn't imagine him being a father, a wholesome dad trying to raise his, you know, teenage daughter. I just couldn't see it. But yeah, so that's what we've got going on on ABC. There are a couple of other networks that have some good TV shows coming too, right?
We watched the ones that are going to be coming on TBS and TNT.
Right.
There was
one with Rashida Jones.
Yes. What was Angie Tribeca? That one surprisingly looked funny to me.
Yeah, I think that's actually going to be really good. And the thing is, I don't know if you guys know this, but Ari and I do not really care for Rashida Jones and her acting. But she looked really, it looked really funny.
This
show. It looks really, really funny.
I'm here for it.
Yeah, me too. I'm definitely going to be watching it. And, TBS shows they're usually pretty good.
You know, and they last a long time.
Come again?
I said they last a long time.
Yeah, they do. They stay on for a very long time. So, we shall see. I think that one's going to be a good one.
Me too. Really good one. I didn't know that they were turning The Transporter into a TV show.
Neither did I.
I don't know if I'm going to try that one out, though.
I don't know. We'll see. So there's a lot of good fall TV coming up, guys. So
I can't wait to see all the trailers.
Oh, man. Gotta watch them all. I mean, because we talked about, you know, fall TV, last year. And of all the TV shows that we told you about, Ari told me that she watched, how many did you watch, Ari?
Like, completely, like, I was engrossed in three.
Okay.
And out of all the ones that we saw.
I watched two. There was just so much, but so many of them got canceled.
Yeah.
Dads got canceled. Did moms get canceled?
I'm assuming it did. I'm not sure, though.
Dads, moms, the show with Robin Williams and that girl.
Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Michelle Gellar. That got canceled. Hostages got canceled.
Super Fun Night got canceled. Michael J. Fox show got canceled. Sean Saves the World got canceled. So many shows, man.
Did any shows on Fox get canceled? Oh, Human.
Dads.
Almost Human. Almost Human. Dads. Yeah.
A Rake. Rake was funny.
It got canceled?
Yeah, it got canceled.
Oh, man. So did Surviving Jack.
Yeah, that one, too.
And that one was funny.
Yeah, I think people are upset about that one as well.
Yeah, that one was really funny. And that got canceled. Yeah, so see, it doesn't even matter that we didn't watch the shows because we would have gotten attached and then they would have gotten canceled.
Well, I liked Rake. I was pretty much all caught up on Rake.
Aw, boo.
Yeah. So, we'll bump that up to 4.
Okay.
Boo. I mean, I guess the moral of the story is stop getting so attached to these TV shows. Because I don't think I could be upset as I was when Happy Ending and Don't Trust the Bee got canceled. Like, I think I told you, I threw myself on the floor. It was that bad. It was that bad. Which says a lot about me.
Funny.
I embarrassed myself, but I was kicking, like, are you serious? Like, not another good show. I try not to watch as much reality TV, and I be saying, like, this is, like, you know, watching scripted TV is just my way to get away from it, but it's like, nah, you guys must want me to watch reality TV, but then I feel like God is like, girl, stop watching TV, but I'm like, no, you wouldn't create it if it wasn't meant for me to watch. And I have this inner dilemma within myself. And then I just put on reruns of the Cosby Show because I don't know what to do at this point.
Oh my gosh. We love TV that much, guys.
We love TV. We need to move on. I'm getting sad.
I know. Anywho, so let's move on. Well, you know what? This segment is back. It's Grind Our Gears.
What? Grind our gears.
Brownie points. Grind our gears. Grind my gears.
We talked about this last week a little bit.
Yeah, we told you about where the term came from. But, you know, I personally do not like when people give me any kind of points. Like, oh, you get points for that. You get points for that. Where can I I have a lot of points. I've been given a lot of points. I need to know where I can cash in my points. I want some rewards.
Coinstar.
Because, I mean, like, come on. I think it's so lame to just hand out points. Like, what is this? This? How many points do I have, first of all? Are you keeping a real tally of all these points that you're handing out? And what is the criteria for these points that you're handing? Like, I didn't sign up for this. I didn't sign up for you to be giving me no points about nothing.
Mm-mm.
Okay, so keep your points unless you're going to be able to, I can cash them in.
At least, like, let me get a stuffed animal, like, ride Dave and Buster's.
Something, a milkshake.
Something with all these points. Like, remember, like, those, when we were younger, when they used to have those booklets and you used to get, like, a certain amount of, like, proof of purchase points or whatever, and you used to get, like, all those stupid toys?
Yes, I do remember that. Can I have one of those? Shoot. My points work like a coupon book, and I can cash them in, kind of like, you know, with your credit card rewards. Can I get a gift card? Something,
man. All save these points can't go unused.
Save your points. Save them. Because I can't do nothing with them. You're giving them to me. You know what? Next time somebody do that, I'm going to ask them what I can get. How do I cash in my points? I'm going to ask for the rewards booklet.
Like, are we getting points to go to the championship? Like, what game are we in? Are we in game 5?
Exactly. Like,
we don't understand. We don't get it. These are for names.
These are for names. And if you don't know where that's from, go watch the Kroll Show. Okay? And go get it. So we asked some of our friends, what grinds their gears, and this is from, Kanisha, who is a good friend of mine, and she says, what grinds my gears is taking the time and patience to explain something, only to have the person come back and ask me a series of questions because they didn't pay attention, too lazy to use their intelligence or to find the answer, or too embarrassed to admit that they are dumb.
Oh my gosh.
No, that shit is mad annoying. Me, personally, whenever, like, if I'm planning something or I'm doing something and I'm going to be relaying this information to someone, I relate to them to the point where I will answer almost every single question that they could possibly throw my way.
She's very thorough.
I try to be very thorough. So then when somebody asks me a question to something and the answer was already given, oh my God, like, that really, really grinds my gears. Because, like, you weren't paying attention. And I did all that work to make sure that I was thorough, and then you still coming back and asking me questions.
Like, yo, did you not just hear what I said?
Did you not just hear me? Or are you just dumb?
Oh my gosh.
And then what did we have from Anna? What did Anna say?
Anna said, aka Witty Kitty 5.
Yes.
She said whining and when people go, huh. I know she hates when people go, huh.
Yes. Because if you go, huh, you can hear.
Yes.
Yucca.
I really don't like huh either.
Me either. Huh. No, huh. Don't do that. That's just, stop it. Don't do that.
It's just an annoying sound. Huh. It's annoying. Yeah. It's an annoying sound. What? I'd rather hear what than huh.
Know what, I'll take a what, but I would prefer excuse me or I beg your pardon. I beg your pardon sometimes. Most of the times people say that in a mean way.
Yeah, I don't really like I beg your pardon.
Yeah, when people say I beg your pardon, that means they ready to fight. I beg your pardon.
I beg the what, who now, huh?
I'd rather come again, excuse me, what, before someone goes, huh, you just sound dumb.
I do say what a lot, and some people do think that saying what is rude.
Yes.
And I don't mean for it to be rude.
Right.
But what?
What?
What is a real question?
It is.
Huh is not.
Huh is not a question. No. Huh. Don't do that. And people who whine, get over yourselves. Please. Grow up.
But I just wanted to pin her. You know,
no, you stop that right now. Stop all the whining. No.
But we're mom. Not
nope.
But what happened was.
Stop it right now. Don't want to hear that. Don't want to hear the foolishness. And you know what? There's a certain age where, not that it's acceptable, but it's like, okay, she's 5 years old. When you are 25 years old and still whining, we have an issue.
Mm-hmm.
You need to learn how to handle your issues, problems, like an adult.
Please.
Stop whining. What the hell wrong with you? That grinds my gears as well, I will have to say. So that's it for the Grinds Our Gears segment. If you guys have any grievances or anything that you would like us to talk about on Grinds Our Gears, please email us at catnaps.andcognac@gmail.com and let us know what grinds your gears. We would like to talk about it on the air.
Please.
Yeah.
So we're not the only ones upset. Yeah,
exactly. Because we don't want to be the only angry, abrasive black women. That's what we want to be. So with that being said, I think cocktail time.
I'm ready for a drink.
Woo! What is the drink of the week?
So, the drink of the week in honor of Solange is called Rumble in the Elevator. Yes. And for this, you will need 1 ounce of peach schnapps, 1 ounce of Southern Comfort, and some lemonade. So you're going to fill a highball glass with ice, then pour in the peach schnapps, and the SoCo, and fill to the rim with lemonade. Mix it with the straw, and enjoy.
Enjoy.
That's it. Pretty simple.
Very, very simple.
And delicious.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's springtime, finally, even though it's still a little chilly outside right now, but it's springtime, finally, so let's enjoy these spring drinks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And hopefully you won't go and rumble with anybody in the elevator.
Oh my gosh, no. Please don't.
We don't promote violence here at Catnaps and Cognac.
But if you have to, just remember, when you step outside of the elevator, act like that shit didn't happen.
That's right.
Fix the wig, sweep it to the side, smile. Stay coiffed.
And keep it pushing.
And keep it pushing. And you might get some brownie points for that.
Oh my God. Nice way to bring it back.
Thank you.
Oh,
that's the end of our show. I had so much fun.
Me too. So, where can we find you, Ari?
You can find me, as usual, on Twitter and Instagram at Ariel Cherie. Oh, and I'm starting to write for gorgeousandgray.com now, so you could read my stuff there as well.
Yay!
Where can we find you, Dee Dee?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram, and it's Lucky Stars, LuckyStarz. You can find us, the show, on Twitter as well, catnaps, the letter N, cognac. You can send us an email, catnaps.ncognac@gmail.com. Let us know if you have any, you guys can send us drink recipes, new topics that you guys want us to discuss. If you want to send in something for Grinds Our Gears, you want to send us a recipe for I'll Have a Bite of That. You have some beauty tips that you want to send us, some health tips. You can send us all of that to catnaps.ncognac@gmail.com. We are also on Facebook, facebook.com/catnapsandcognac. We're on the Spreaker Network, so check us out there. We're also on iTunes. Just search Catnaps and Cognac. And please don't forget to rate us and like us on Facebook. And lastly, of course, you can always find us on Podbean, catnapsandcognac.podbean.com. To find all of our episodes.
Mm-hmm.
So we hope that you guys enjoyed the show, and we will talk to you next week.
Alrighty, see ya. Bye.
Bye.